Turn, if you would, to Luke, the 14th chapter, beginning at verse 25. And there went great multitudes with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, this was at the center of Jesus' ministry. People were following him because the words that he had were the words of life, but also because of the miracles and the signs and the wonders that told everybody, this is my servant. This is my man. This is the one I've chosen. And so great crowds gathered around him because they were interested in the power and in the wisdom that he had and in all these gifts. And suddenly he turned and said these very difficult to understand words. If any man, come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And at once he struck a condition for discipleship, for going on with God, that caused many people to fall away. Suddenly, the multitudes no longer wanted to follow. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, if you want to come to me and stay with me, not just be curious onlookers, not just those that are looking for some thrill, some curiosity, but if you want to be my disciple, then you must do this. You must take up your cross, you must bear your own cross, and follow me. And to do that means you must forsake everything. Everything. To do that means to forsake everything. Now that does not sound good, does it? To have to give up everything. It all depends on how you look at it. If the things you have are worthwhile, then you're losing something. But if they're not, then you have lost nothing and have gained everything. Jesus said, I am the pearl of great price, for whom a man would go and sell all that he has, all his possessions, all of his relationships, everything that he has, to come and to purchase this one pearl of great price. It's of such incredible price that it's worth everything in the world. Of course, that's the kingdom of God, or it's finding the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. These words are difficult for Christians, even after we hear sermons on them. We still stagger at them each time. Is what do you mean, hate? Wouldn't you like to use another word, Jesus? Jesus knew exactly what word he was using. He meant hate. You must hate father and mother, wife, husband, brothers, sister, children, your own life. In other words, the biggest problem in discipleship is what? Family relationships. The biggest problem, why many of us are sick and in trouble, is because we have two gods. We have Jesus and we have something else. And Jesus said, you know, you can't serve two masters. Either you're going to serve the one and then you'll hate the other, same word is used there, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You can't serve Jesus and your mother. You can't serve Jesus and your father. You can't serve Jesus and your children. You can't serve Jesus and your brothers and sisters. In other words, if you're still competing with some brother or sister, they call that sibling rivalry. If you're still worried about that, when I was a kid, my older brother always got everything. Or my younger sister, she always was the favorite. If you're still living out of family, you will never come to Jesus Christ. If you're still into family, you will never come to Jesus Christ. One of the biggest, most important things that every teenager must do is transfer out of family into Jesus. Now listen to me. I didn't say transfer away from family into the peer group, into the crowd. I didn't say transfer away from family into standing on your own feet. I said transfer out of family into Jesus. Now that should start very early in your life when the parents begin to tell you, we are not God. You have one God, even the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, even though many parents have shared that with their children, they still like to manipulate their children. Hello? They still love to have an influence on them so that the children will go right rather than wrong. And I'm telling you, that's playing God. You can influence them, but you cannot cause them. You can influence your children by saying, don't do it. But you can't put pressure on them and make them not do it after they arrive at a certain age. Now, when they're young children, we just make them do right. Right? None of this permissive stuff and so on. We just tell them, this is the way we do it, period.
Why?
You know, we don't answer that question. We just simply said, as fathers and mothers used to say, because I said so. Only we Christians have a better answer, and that is because the Lord has commanded you to obey. And therein lies your happiness. A child that is obedient is a happy child. A child that is disobedient is not a happy child. And this is not just outward. This means in every way. Obedient from the heart. Obedient from the spirit. That is, you not only do it, okay, but you do it with joy. Yes, mother. Do you insist that your children do that? We do. We insist that our children not only obey us, but do so cheerfully. And sometimes we have more problem with the second one than with the first one. We will not let them just go to one another and say, I forgive you. You know, they have to go and say, I forgive you. Now, I'll grant we haven't probably achieved the ultimate, but they get the idea. And when the Lord Jesus becomes more and more the master of their lives, they more and more are able to do it in faith, freely, spontaneously, knowing that that is the truth. I'm not just doing this because I'm supposed to. I have to. They're going to make me. I'm doing it because I want to and because it's true. Because it's really true. I do love my sister. I do love my brother. I do love my parents. Even though at times I feel like I hate them. Even though at times I feel like I want to make them do what I want them to do. Now, all of us are built that way. We all want people to do what's right. And you know what's right? That's doing what I think you ought to do. We all want people to be made in our image. That is, we have an image in our imagination which says, this is what so-and-so needs to do today to be happy, and this is what so-and-so needs to do today, and so on. And we arrange the world according to our standard, according to what would please us. And you know, a lot of Christian parents get in trouble, and I believe a lot of our sickness in the church is due to this, is because maybe one of their children is not cooperating, and they get upset over that. They become anxious over that. They get under stress. They put pressure on the child. They put pressure on themselves. They're living under bondage. You cannot get along with your family. It's a miracle if it happens. I'm going to say that again. You have no power to get along with your family. You have no power to manipulate your family. You have no power to control the members of your family. It's a gift of God if it works. Hello. It's a gift of God. You cannot say, if only I had done better in my marriage, I would not have lost it. It wouldn't have made one whit of difference. Now listen to me. You do not look for the causes why my marriage failed. Your marriage failed because you did not follow Jesus, and neither did your mate. Even had you followed Jesus, it still would be questionable because your mate did not. It's only when both members follow Jesus that it works. I'm not saying there's not power in prayer. I'm not saying there's not power in your life and in your witness, that you cannot influence, but you cannot cause. You cannot make it work. You have no power to control. I thought early in my marriage that I could control Peggy because she's a very submissive type of person. She's very, you know, agreeable. You know, if I would say, I want this kind of silverware, she would go along with it. I want this kind of furniture, she'd go along with it. I want to live in this place, we're going to do this thing, she'd go along with it. And I thought, aha, now there's a woman you want to marry. Because she just goes along with everything, and therefore I am happy. But I discovered something. that even though I got my kind of silverware and my house and what I wanted to do, she was not submissive in every way. It took me a while to figure that out, that she was obeying, but not from the heart. She wasn't really excited about my silverware. She just didn't want to have any trouble. And so she just said, I'll go along with this guy, crazy as he is, and we'll keep peace in the house. I cannot control or manipulate Peggy. I thought I was doing a good job. Equally, she cannot control or manipulate me. She tried for years to get me to do what was right. I did not do what was right. I did what I wanted to do. She tried to influence me. She did. But she tried to make me. She couldn't. I am my own person. And I found out Peggy was her own person. I didn't know that. I thought, I got it made. I married a woman that will kind of go right along, you know. This is great. I've got, you know, those other poor guys, you know. But I've got, you know, she always cooperates. You know, she never says, I won't do it, you know. She would always do it, but then hate it. But at least she'd do it, you know, see. But I learned later that that doesn't work either. What you want in marriage to really have harmony is to be both agreeable on the inside. This is the truth. You cannot manipulate anybody. That's why marriages go astray, is because they try to manipulate one another to do what they think is right. I'll say that again. Marriages go astray because people are manipulating each other. They're not just enjoying the Lord. They're not just enjoying themselves. They're not letting the mate be where they are. Now, I'm not saying you can't tell the mate, honey, it would be nice. I better not use real examples. It would be nice if you would do thus and so. You can fill in the blank. There's nothing wrong with telling the mate what pleases you, but you cannot manipulate them to get them to do it. You cannot make them do it. You cannot force them to do it. You cannot expect them to do it. You can only say, this is what would please me. I think this is what would please me. And then leave it go. And then you can't say, like we did, well, if you loved me, you know, that's manipulation. If you loved me. You can't proceed that way. You've already destroyed the marriage. By using the word if, you've destroyed the marriage. No, no. Because you love me, Jim, Peggy should learn to say, because you love me, Jim, here's what you could do to please me. And make a big list, you know, if she wants. Write it all down. And that lets me free then to do things. Now, the thing is, she can't tell me what actually will make her happy because she doesn't even know. But she can certainly write down what she does know. I still must ask Jesus, Jesus, what would you have me do? Because I'm not her slave in the sense that I do whatever she says. I am her slave in the sense that I do whatever is good for her as Jesus tells me. Do you hear the difference? Therefore, even if she could manipulate me, it wouldn't work because she doesn't even know what's best for her. When we get our way, we find out we're not happy. You don't know what's good for you. Only Jesus does. So Jesus said, if you would be my disciple, you've got to give up pleasing your mother. You've got to give up hating your father or pleasing your father or being unforgiving. You've got to give up the connections you have to your people. You've got to give up people. You've got to give up religion. Religion is born out of family relationships. Religion, which is obligations and duties and performances and rituals, not the real religion, I'm talking about the kind that most people know about, that grows out of family. But it's the same problem. That's why Jesus said, you'll be healthy in your body and in your mind if you'll let go and have one God. Martha had a problem. She was anxious about many things. That is, she cared about Jesus and the house. Mary had only one thing, to please Jesus. Martha was not wrong to cook. She was wrong to be anxious about many things. It wasn't wrong to cook supper. That might have been the will of God. It was wrong to think, maybe I should be at his feet, maybe I should cook supper. No, do one or the other. Find out what it is God wants you to do and do it. One master, not two. Sometimes it's wrong to sit at Jesus' feet. And it's right to get up and serve him. By the way, Mary got up and served Jesus afterward, if you read the scripture. She got up and served him afterward. It's not wrong to serve him when it's right to serve him. It's only wrong to serve him when it's right to sit at his feet. You must find out what God wants, one thing and one thing only. That's joy. That's happiness. Isn't it exciting to have one love? How many loves do you have in your life? If you have two loves, it's one too many. If you have six loves, if you're trying to please mother and father and brother and sister and wife and children and your own self, you've got too many gods. Now, when it says hate, it means don't let anyone put pressure on you. That's the translation of that word. To hate father or mother means don't let father's word come before my word, Jesus said. If you would be my disciple, if you would come under me, if you would find me to be the pearl of great price, if I'm your lover, then only have one lover and don't worry about your father or your mother. Don't care what the wife says is, honey, if you'd do this, we'd have a happy marriage. Look, if you did it, you still wouldn't. If you were perfect, your marriage would still be in trouble. Don't look for causes for your marriage falling apart. The only one that keeps marriages together is Jesus Christ. You cannot do well enough to ever please anybody. If you got a marriage, it's not working because the other person's doing well or you're doing well. It's working because it shouldn't work. But Jesus lets it work. I tell you, that's the truth. Even those that are not Christians, even God is holding those things together. But when you're Christians, you have an added power in that there's only one love in your life, and that's what unites you. When we have Christian marriage, we never talk about two people getting married. We talk about three people. Jesus and you and the mate. Because it's a threefold cord that's not quickly broken. You know, in making a rope, if you just tie two cords together, it pulls apart. But if you put three together and braid them, then there's a strength to it that is immensely strong, stronger than any of the fibers individually, or even added up arithmetically. There is an added strength to that that's much more strong than the three together, I mean alone. But when Jesus Christ is the center of your marriage, and when he's the center of your life, and when he's the center of your job, and when he's the center of everything, in fact, he's not only the center, but he's the edge. You know, he's everything, then everything goes well. I'll tell you, you cannot be happy because of what people do, because people will never do what you want them to do. They never do it right. You know, even if everything would be done right, it still wouldn't be done with all their heart. And you'll never see that. In this life, you'll never see it, so give it up. Only have one master. If the whole world should hate you because you love Jesus, you'd still win. One plus Jesus always wins. You always win. Jesus will hold my marriage together if it's going to be held together at all because I love Jesus, not because I go and try to please my mate or try to shape myself up. Let's give up manipulating people. Let me say it again. I think a lot of the sickness in our body, in the body of Christ, is due to the fact that mothers are still hoping their sons will become Christians. Or that they're Christians, but I hope they'll come to church and develop themselves. Let them go. Let them go. Are you afraid to let them go? If you have two eyes, you have one on Jesus and one on your son. No, let your eye be single. Let your eye be single. Because if it's single, if you don't care where your kids are, Jesus will bring them along. Now, all you do is pray, Lord Jesus, you see my son over there? He's a mess. Get him. Thank you. That's all you pray. You don't tell him all the details and, you know, agonize night after night and tarry before God. It does no good. Stick with Jesus, forget your son. I tell you, it takes faith to do that. But faith is the victory that overcomes the world. It takes great faith to let your family go. Don't care about your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, your wife, your husband, your children, your own life. Don't care. That's life. Now, Jesus said, if you want to be my disciples, I don't want anyone that also keeps mother. You can't bring mother into this thing. You can't bring father into this thing. You can't bring wife into this thing. You must hate them. That is, never let them put pressure on you. Never let them be God. Never let their manipulation affect you. Now, people try to manipulate you all the time. How many know that? There are people all around you, always putting pressure on you. Television, stimuli from work, your family. But the ones that really count are the people in your family. They're the ones that put the... They know how to really, you know, put the hook in there and you know, make you feel bad. Even if you're a Christian and love Jesus, they can make you feel awful. Like you did something wrong. I tell you, let your kids go. Let your parents go. Stop being mad at your parents. Your parents are not perfect. Let's all say that. My parents are not perfect. Never will be. Except in Jesus. But they were perfect for me. Everything they did was just what I needed. You don't believe that. If you don't believe that, then you will be a manipulator the rest of your life. You will never be happy. You will postpone happiness. You will never rejoice in Jesus. You cannot be his disciple. If you are at all into your parents because they did too much or too little or too anything, don't even look at them. Just serve Jesus, and he will then teach you how to love them. He will teach them how to love you. You will never be cheated. My mother has not cheated me. When I was growing up, I thought my mother did not do right. I could tell you why. I could tell you all the things I thought. A lot of things. And you could even sympathize if I told it in the right way, or you'd get mad at me if I told it in the wrong way. But the point is this, that from my point of view, I knew my mother was not perfect. I knew she wasn't. But you know, when I became a Christian, I didn't worry about my mother. I just began to love Jesus, and you know what? My mother became perfect. I suddenly realized that everything she did helped me to meet Jesus. Whatever she did good and whatever she did bad, it all helped me to meet Jesus. And I loved her not before, you know, not when she lost weight. I loved her not when she got off all the medicine she was on. I loved her not when she stopped being a recluse. I loved her not when she said the right thing. She always said the wrong thing. I don't know how she always said the wrong thing. I loved her not when she, you know, I just loved her as she was. Don't fix up. Stay the way you are, even though she wasn't even a Christian. I didn't demand that I would love her and be happy in her presence if she became a Christian and shaped up. I loved her as she was. I was happy with her. I was thanking God for her just as she was. And you know what? Mama became a Christian. Mama lost weight. Mama got off of all medicines. Mama became a powerful witness for Jesus. I just called her up the day before, I think. She's still excited. And Peggy knows that for the first umpteen years of our marriage, my mother was one of the most miserable persons. She would agree. She was. She was one of the most miserable persons you could ever meet. She never left the house. She stayed in the house. They call that recluse. She was a recluse. She had no joy. Everything went wrong. But when she met Jesus, and I tell you, I believe I did not cause my mother to become a Christian, but I believe I influenced her by letting her go. I believe when I told her, "Mother, I forgive you." One day she told me some of the things she did. And I said, "Mother, I forgive you. That doesn't bother me at all. I just love you." I remember the day I called her on the phone and said, "Mom, I love you. I've never told you those words. I love you." I let her go that day. And it wasn't long after that she became a Christian. I didn't make her become a Christian. I just set her free, and Jesus could talk to her for the first time. She constantly, when I was young, was trying to manipulate me to become something. What she wanted me to become was a son that loved her. And I just would not cooperate. And when she hoped, when I went to college, she thought, "Now he's going to college, he's going to study psychology, he will finally understand me, come home and love me." So I studied psychology, I came home, took a deep breath, and I didn't do it. And I felt awful. You know, like, "I ain't ever going to love you, Mom." And I told her that. "I just can't do it. And I can't be like my sister who says she loves you, but I know she doesn't. I'm not going to fake it. I'm just going to tell you, don't look for anything good from me." She never accepted that. Mama, even though she wasn't a Christian, she was a kind of a cultural Christian, she did pray. You know, she didn't know anything about Jesus, really. But all that she knew, she constantly prayed for me anyway. She loved me even though I didn't love her. Do you understand? She didn't make me do anything, but she just hoped. But I was free. I was on my own. But when Jesus Christ met me, then I was set free, and I was able to set my mother free from the guilt she had about me so that she could finally say, "Well, praise God, I don't have to feel bad about what I did to my children or didn't do, what I didn't give them, what I did give them." I want you to know something right now. You are the perfect parent. Let's say it. I am the perfect parent. Do you believe that? Let's say it again then. I am the perfect parent. Now, you don't mean by that you do everything right. What you mean by that is that God is able through your everything to bring forth good because God is good. Don't think God is limited by sin in this world. God can take the most evil situation and bring good out of it. Amen? If God wasn't bigger than sin, then you'd have a right to complain and gripe. But God knows how in this world to affect it in such a way, without taking away our freedom, to let us do our thing, but to overrule us in such a way that He still brings good out of it so that we have no excuse to say, I was cheated. I was never cheated. Even though my mother did not love me perfectly, she was perfect for me because Jesus used her to bless me. And if I'd opened my eyes when I was young, I could have enjoyed her from the time I was a little child. But I didn't know any better. I was ignorant, my mind was darkened, but now I see. Now that I've met Jesus, I know that everybody is free. I don't want people to become Christians to please me. They don't have to become Christians to please me. You know why? I don't even notice people. I am in love with Jesus, period. I don't really care if the whole world becomes Christian or not. I've got it. I'm in love. When you're in love, you don't really notice the rest of the world. Now, out of love, I want the rest of the world to become Christian, but I wouldn't make them because God didn't make me. I just tell them the good news. I just witness to it. I just smile. I just dance. But they don't feel manipulation or pressure. Now, if people do feel it, it's because they've got it in themselves. I'm not pressuring anybody. I'm not a manipulator. I really don't want you to become a Christian. I want God to do it all and get all the glory. I don't want you to do it because I tricked you, because I persuaded you. Then you'd be my disciple. Then you'd belong to me. Then I'd bear responsibility for you, and I'd have to watch you day in and day out. And I don't want you. I just let you fall apart. Have at it. You know, it doesn't bother me at all. You know, the power that God gave me is to pray for you, not to go and lecture to you. Oh, I can share some words here and there, and I do. But I'm not really interested whether it works out or not. That's God's problem. I'm not going to lose my joy because you don't have any. I'm not going to lose my joy because you don't have any. I won't lose my joy because you don't have my joy. Get your own. It's free. It's free. But everybody has to take it for themselves. If any man come to me, that's the whole issue, if you want to come to Jesus. Come unto me, all ye that labor. He's talking about family people here. That labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, let your people go. Let all your family go. Let them go. Let them go. Just turn them loose right now. It's all you have to do that. Just to say, everybody's perfect just the way they are. Now, you know, you don't mean that they're Christian or you don't mean that they do everything right. You just say, I'm so glad my mother did everything that she did. Can you say that? Most people are afraid if you say that, then you're saying, I'm saying sin is good. No, what we're talking about there is letting people go. We're not talking about excusing sin. Sin is still sin. My mother was not perfect. I just want you to know that. No more than I am. I am not a perfect father. I thought, you know, when I got my little family together, especially with a submissive wife like I had, that we would have a perfect family. And people said, no, you won't. And I thought to myself, they just don't know. You know, because we're going to raise a perfect family. There's Kara, my oldest. You see how perfect she is? And then Kirsten, you know, another perfect one. Then David. And then Margaret, you know. Well, they're not perfect, but at least they're happy. You know, I had to give up the perfect part. But we have to undo a lot of the stuff we did with Kara. Because we put pressure on her. Kara, you're going to be perfect. Don't you dare get out of that mold, you know. And wonderfully, she's obeyed. What a wonderful girl. She just does everything we want, unlike me. She does everything we want. But you know what? That doesn't mean you're free. You have to do it because Jesus wants you to do it. That's what's exciting. That's what I want to convey to my children is, you don't have to do anything to please me. You please me no matter what you do. You know, Kara brings home more, about four times as many A pluses as A's. I think, did you ever get a B? Oh! I mean, out of 56 grades, I think 38 of them were A pluses last year on her yearly report card, the whole thing. That's a good girl. does everything we like, you know, and all that. That doesn't make for happiness. Just to please mom and dad. There's only one to please, Jesus. And if she got all F's and failed, we would love her just the same. Now, we'll find out because David's not doing quite so well. we'll find out. But we parents put pressure on our kids to be everything we want them to be to fulfill all the stuff we didn't do. Let them go. Jesus said, if you be my disciple, come after me. You've got to hate father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, children. Don't let your children control you. The other kids on the block are doing this. They're all wearing these, whatever, the thing. So what? Do what you think God wants you to do, and your children will be happier, and even if they're not, too bad, that's God's problem. Hello? Stop running away from authority. Stop certain covenants with them, but they have to be freely and mutually agreed to. But beyond that, you have no control over them. And if they disobey, as the prodigal son did, you must say, go. You've broken the covenant. You're not going to do that around here. Go. And it kills you to do it, but you've got to do it. Are you hearing me? Don't let your children's love control you. Don't say, if I do the wrong thing here, they won't love me, they won't respect me. You've got to die to it. I've got to do the same thing with the church. I want everyone to like me. I want to be known as a great pastor. And truth be known, I want to be known as the greatest pastor. But in all humility, I just want to be known as a great pastor. Just your average great one, you know. But if I get stressed over that, if I get upset over that, if I begin to look at that, I will have another master and I will get sick. And I'm absolutely convinced in my mind that right now I am sick physically because I have been under stress because I've wanted to make this thing go. I've been working at it now for 2 years. Get this New Testament church born there and, you know, it's got to be just right and, you know, hold off this and make that come in, you know. And I've had two loves, God and the church. I want the church to be successful. I'm going to lay down my life for it kind of thing. No, Jesus says, one love and one love, let it go. But God, it'll fall apart if I don't stay right in there. What would happen if I took a little vacation? You know, and especially if I didn't go off and just pray. You know, and fast all the time and, you know, so on. I don't know what would happen. God, do you think you could hold it together? Now, I'm not saying that needs to be done. I'm only saying that you must give up control, manipulation, stress, care, concern. You must be independent. Let's today make this an Independence Day. February 13th. This will be our Independence Day. Let's be independent of all our family people. Jesus closed this by saying, he said, if you sit down to build and you don't count the cost, this is the cost, death to everybody but Jesus. Learn to bear your own cross here. Death to everybody. Everybody else's input to you. Please me, please me, please me. Hear me, hear me, hear me. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. No. I'm going to listen to one. I'm going to hear one. I'm going to please one. I'm going to love one, not two. I cannot please Jesus and Peggy. I can only please Jesus. If I please Peggy, I cannot be a disciple. How many are excited about that? He said, if you sit down and don't count the cost, this is the cost. You must let the family go. For many of you, you can't do it. You cannot do it. You find that you just can't let go. You're waiting for that child to come in and be a Christian. You're waiting for your husband to come to church. You're waiting for someone to change. Stop it. You're not God. Let God do it. God is just waiting for you to quit. He's just waiting, saying, you done yet? No. You know, I'm helping you, God. You're not helping. You're in the way. Let him go. Laugh, rejoice, dance, sing. Have a good time, and God will do all the work. God will do all the work. All you have to do is believe. I tell you, to have a party takes great faith to believe that God will do all the work. He has already done it. He's just waiting for you to get out of the way so he can release it. If you say, I know this church will not come forth except by me. I know my son will not come into the kingdom except by me. Now, we know better than to say that. But that's what we really think. We really think, I'm so needed in here. At least we think, if I'm not totally needed, I'm at least partially needed. You are not needed at all. Did you know that? You are dispensable. Let's dispense with ourselves. We're the trash society. You're not needed. Now, God wants to use you, but in this way. Laugh. Rejoice. Have a good time. That's how He wants to use you. You just enjoy the fight. You just sort of stand by while God does it all. It's exciting to see God win my mother to Jesus. I had nothing to do with it. I don't sustain her. When I call her up, I don't say, Mom, are you still hanging in there? No, Peggy does. Peggy wants to know, is she still lasting? You know? But, you know, my mom's doing great. And, you know, even I am surprised. I'll have to admit, I am surprised that after now several years, I don't know how long ago it was, 3 or 4 years now, mother is on top all the time. I can't believe it. Because if you knew my mother, it's unbelievable. But she really is joyous. And she works hard and so on. And everything has changed. That's neat. It's neat to have a mom that loves Jesus independent of me. She doesn't love Him because, you know, it'll help Jim out or some kind of thing is, you know. She just loves Jesus all on her own. That's neat. We want everybody to love Jesus on their own. So give up all the human relationships. God will give them back to you later, fixed up. He'll give you back everybody. Pray for your mother, your father, your brothers, your husband, your children, all of that. But He'll give them back to you fixed up. Just don't help Him do it. Let Him do it all. He'll get all the glory. The last verse here He says, so likewise, whosoever be ye of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. You must give up everything. But remember, the biggest stumbling block is family. Go home today. I wish you'd do this. I think most of you won't do it. I wish you'd actually sit down because I know the devil is so tricky that if you don't do it this way, I don't know that you'll do it. Sit down on a piece of paper and write down mother, father, husband, wife, children, and write down all their names. Make a list of about 15, 20 people, all in your family, and then go through and just say this. Father God, I release mother. I now say she was perfect for me. Even though she didn't do right, I forgive her, and I praise you for her. If you would do this, you don't need to go to a psychiatrist. If you would do this, you don't need to go to a doctor. If you would do this, you would be set free if you would give up these stress-producing relationships. You would be absolutely set free. And when you get down at the bottom, then write down, okay, Jesus, I'm yours and you're mine, and we just have an exclusive relationship all our own. I have no other care, no other concern, no other love. This is why people don't love Jesus with all their heart. This is why people can't come and worship Him. It's because they're still hung up on their families. They're dragging baggage in when they come in. You know, trying to worship God, lifting up your folks while you're doing it. You know, it's too heavy. You can't bear it. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Learn of me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart. For my yoke, it's easy. My burden, it's light. Jesus wants to remove. You don't have to bear your cross in the sense of carry it. The cross is to say no to playing God. The cross is to say no to all the people that are asking you to play God for them. Just tell them, I'm not God, He is. I can't help you, He can. I can't counsel you, He can. All I can say is, turn to Jesus. All I can say is, let's pray. All I can do is laugh. All I can do is dance. All I can say is, I'm in love. That's all you've got. That's all you need. That will turn the world around. People that have that have everything. God's saying one love. He's saying, have one love. Oh, I want you to have one love. It's so exciting. It's so exciting. The Word of God has gone forth today to speak to you, to make a division between yourself and all of the gods, all of the religions, all of the obligations, all of the pressures, all other forms of duty. Do not serve God and the state. Do not serve God and the church. Do not serve God and the pastor. Do not serve God and your family. Do not serve God and. Just serve God. God will take care of the state, your mother, your father, you know, your church, everything. God will take care of it. Do you believe that? Do you have faith? If you just worship God. Let's close in prayer. Oh, Father God, we thank You that You have set us free this day. We're not any longer concerned that we have prodigals in our family. We're not even concerned that sometimes we're prodigal. We're not concerned. We don't need to make people be what they ought to be. We recognize that you alone are God. We recognize that we cannot force people, make people, trick people, manipulate people, pressure people, nor can they us. We're free. Today we set our families free. Today we are free. We are free to love you with all our heart. That's what we were made for. That's why we were created. That's why we were redeemed. That each of us might love you with all his heart and all his soul and all his mind and all his strength. And there's nothing left over for anyone else. You will take care of them through us, apart from us, but you will do it. Today we're free. We love you. We love you. We love you. And all the people said, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.